A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Power ratings, picks, previews, predictions, pro as in become a VSiN pro subscriber, getting all access pass to our betting tools, betting splits, and the 2023 college football and NFL betting guides. Both the college football guide and our NFL betting guide will have you ready to turn a profit on the gridiron this year. And the only way to get the guides and everything we have to offer is to become a VSiN pro subscriber. And you can do exactly that at VSiN.com/subscribe. Get picks, power ratings, previews, predictions, pro. Alliteration, ladies and gentlemen. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beanie the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Danny letting us know about Darren Revelle highlighting a detail in the Billy Walters book, Gambler, that's coming out. Billy Walters will be interviewed by Spanky tomorrow at Bet Bash 3, which everybody's looking forward to. Alan Shipnuck, the author of this, doing it for Billy Walters and Gambler. Walters' records show that Phil Mickelson bet at least $311 million in their five-year gambling partnership between 2010 and 2014. $311 million. Honestly, that sounds like more than it is. Because with his net worth, even smaller-time gamblers, if you gamble every day, it still ends up being millions. So for Phil's amount of money and net worth, 311 over a five-year span, actually not all that much, to be quite honest with you. I'm not as amazed by that detail, perhaps. This is from Norman Vegas. My wife and I, oh, this is for you, Brian. My wife and I went to Oppenheimer and 70mm IMAX 2 weeks ago at Regal Palace in Ontario. It looked fabulous, well worth the trip, and we found a great sports bar, 4th and Mill, a few blocks away where we watched baseball and the Women's World Cup. And then Elvis Toast Patterson said, Gilly, your producer Wyatt, it's actually Brian today, is doing it right. Go see a movie in IMAX 70mm film theater. We have one here in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. What an experience. So people respect what you're doing.
All right. Yeah, look at that.
Trip Tepper, you had me at Orthodox Jew trying to make the NBA. I'm in. That's exactly how he had me in. Check
oh,
also.
Yeah, for sure. No, yeah, so I watched the whole thing last night in preparation for today, and it was really interesting. So I'm not a big, like, basketball fan. I don't follow it as much as the other sports, especially, like G League. Like, I never really think about it. But I guess the Las Vegas Ignite, that are from Vegas, are actually, like, one of the best teams in the league. It had Scoot Henderson on the team.
Well, we went down and watched Scoot play Wembanyama one day.
Yeah, but I thought a lot of the storylines were very interesting, kind of like Hard Knocks-ish.
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting.
Well, Check did those. He did those Showtime college football ones, which were very Hard Knocks-y as well. He's done a tremendous amount of things, again, award-winning. Thrilled that he was able to join us. Let's talk some baseball. Mark Borchardt joins us from an undisclosed location.
Got my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
There you go. Borchardt, at base winner.
Beautiful. I could just play that for my wife every morning. I think she'd enjoy that.
She'd think of you so differently, wouldn't she? She'd be like, well, Mark, how about you with a swag? Basewinner.com, base winner, at base winner, the base winner podcast as well. How you doing, man? You good?
Good. After that, I mean, gosh, I'm ready to take on the day. Thank you. Who did that? Which producer did that?
Kevin Trask. Kevin Kev. No relation to Kyle, no relation to Amy. But Kevin Trask does it. The mind on your money and money on your mind, which is amusing only because it's from you, which, you know, we think of you as a very numbers crunching baseball guy. So the fact that you say that when you're setting up your camera is always amusing to us. What do you have in baseball today?
This is a true story, though. Before we get into it, every other week I do a wrap on Friday on the MLB show. It's okay. Sometimes it's awful, but sometimes it's pretty good. So that is a true story.
Wait a minute. You do what? What did you say you do?
I like mix lyrics up to like baseball handicapping. So like, you know, snap, crackle, pop. Crackle, pop, snap. Base winners, apps. Got the numbers that you can use the cap. So
what is happening?
It's actually.
Okay. All right.
Exactly.
Where can people hear that for those who want more of you spitting?
MLB show every weekday. I'm on Monday through Friday, and then every other Friday is the base winner rap.
Okay.
True story.
There it is. True story.
We're gonna do Rihanna tomorrow. We're gonna do Live Your Life tomorrow, based on some input that we got from Jason Weingarten. So
okay.
There's actually some thought behind it.
What did you and please don't try to rhyme these. What did you pick today at baseball? What did you bet on?
You know, this is a good reason for me not going on Thursday, going on Tuesday, because this card's like pretty bad.
Yeah.
So you know, there's only like seven games, but people are gonna love this. I think the best way to attack this card is to go Tampa, Boston, Dodgers parlay. And I'll pay plus 189. And I've got the Dodgers. I got Kershaw coming back tonight. So I think that's the, I mean, that's might be my only bet of the night, Gil.
Tampa, LA Dodgers, Boston Red Sox parlay. That's what you're doing?
Yes. Yes. That's how I'm going to do it, Gil.
Steve Fezzik.
Plus 189.
Not happy right now. Yeah, plus 189, but there you go. Okay, so a three-team parlay on this. Talk to me about the Giants. You look up at the NL West standings, and all of a sudden, it's a six-game lead. They just can't score. Is this going to, I mean, are they going to make, forget the division for now. Are they going to make it to the postseason?
So, okay, so I have them as making it to the postseason 73.4% of the time. And that's minus 276 odds. They're at DK right now at minus 250. So still a little bit of value to make the playoffs, but nothing to win in the division. I think the Dodgers have that sewn up. In fact, I would lay the wood 20-1. I would bet your money on that, Gil, for the Dodgers to win the division.
You would bet my money on it. By the way, Giants still with a three-game, you know, bulge between them and being out of the postseason, where the Cubs and the Reds are on the outside looking in. Who's the team we haven't talked about at all this year? I'm looking at the Phillies. Obviously, we've brought up the Cubs recently because you advocated a bet. We never talk about the Phillies. What's your thoughts on them?
I think that, you know what? I think that there's a bet you can make with the Phillies. Plus 800 to not make the playoffs. And I think they'll get there. I've got them at 68.5% of the time. You know, minus 217, but you know, the Marlins could get there. The Cubs could get there. And then there's a couple other teams that are kind of in the fringe a little bit. I still got the Padres 28.4% chance to win, to get into playoffs rather, the Reds 23% chance. And then the Brewers have kind of added. So they've kind of increased their probability. So while I think the Phillies will get to the playoffs, I mean, I'm getting there 69% of the time. I think that that's, you know, at 8-1 not to make the playoffs, not a bad idea. They are having issues, Gil, with their bullpen, and I don't know what's going on with the health of Alvarado, but that's a big deal. So I'm just not sure. And so their bullpen really doesn't rate very high. And then offensively, I don't have them as high as you would think. So that those are the main reasons why I think that might be a good play, Gil.
Interesting. 8-1 to not make the playoffs with Philadelphia Phillies, who right now are four clear of being on the outside of the playoff picture. The Giants are three clear. Phillies occupying the number one wild card position right now. The Giants occupying the number two. Marlins clinging to the number three position in the National League. The other team in the American League, the other team that we rarely bring up, I guess there's a couple in the American League, right? We don't really necessarily focus on the Red Sox that much. They're five out. But the Mariners are two out of a wild card position. The Blue Jays occupying that last position wildcard wise right now, still more than a quarter of the season left. I mean, baseball season is interminable, so there's still so much to play, more than 40 games. What about the Blue Jays and the Mariners? Your thoughts on both of those teams?
Well, I think the Mariners are an interesting thing because they're second in pitching, but in offensive production, I mean, you got to go down almost like they're 24th, Gil. So, you know, you put it in the mixer, and they're like 15th from or 13th rather from a run differential standpoint. So I don't really like them as much as I thought I would to make the playoffs. So right now they're priced in the market. You can get plus 135 to make the playoffs. Well, I don't think that's a good price. I only have them making the playoffs 39.5% of the time. So it's not like a bet against or bet play. It's kind of like, well, the odds are where they need to be for Seattle. But, you know, I want to play that team. I really like the story over Gil, but the numbers just don't add up.
Yeah, I mean, you're the guy that's come on this show. You gave us Robbie Ray 100-1. You gave us the Cubs at 12-1. I want to say it was to win the division when you gave us 12-1 a few weeks
back. It was, yeah.
I mean, is that 8-1 on the Phillies not to make the playoffs your favorite bet right now? What's your favorite thing as you look across the betting landscape with all of these?
There's a couple. We'll just focus with this play to make playoff market. I think the Red Sox have a chance to make the playoffs. You know, you can get them, I think. Now, maybe you could double check on DK. I've got them at 9-1 to make the playoffs, the odds. And I think that they make the playoffs 22% of the time. So that's plus 339. So I think that's value for the Red Sox to make the playoffs. Pretty darn good team. Starting pitching's good. The offense is good, Gil.
Okay. I was doing a whole thing on the Cubs. I still think the Cubs at current numbers and it's way worse than what you gave it out, right? But it's still plus money. How are they such big plus money to win the division and still plus money to make the postseason? That still represents value, doesn't it?
I would totally agree with you 100%. I think that they should be plus 132 to win the division. They're plus 230. So that's good that right there.
It's crazy.
To win the division. And then,
yeah.
And then I've got them to make the playoffs. That's one of those teams that's going to maybe bump the Phillies out 62.4% of the time, minus 166. You can get them at plus money. Why not?
Yeah. And I guess as long as they keep losing to the Mets, that number's still going to be out there. It's not going anywhere, obviously, the Mets series. Is
are the Mets that bad, though? Because the Mets, you know, they were going to be the winners, everybody thought. And that offense is still relatively intact. So yeah. I don't know if that's as bad as it looks, you know.
Got to run. Mark, thank you as always. Appreciate it. Mark Borchardt, mind on his
money. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Money on his mind. Ed Feng next on Football Intercept.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Attention, BetMGM customers. Have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Here's a chance for both of you to earn a $100 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account and click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $100 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus and the wager's settled, you'll receive a $100 bonus as well. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 and over to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus. Bonus expires in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Massachusetts, Mississippi, and Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Mike Alvarez, are you going to have Joe Theismann on this week to help with the three-team 10-point teasers? That's right. I think Joey T, Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl 17 MVP. Joe Theismann came on the show during the regular season last year and advocated three-team 10-point teasers. We don't advocate that during the regular season, but once again, week one of the National Football League preseason kicks off tonight with two games, then really in earnest tomorrow. But again, last year, every permutation, every combo of three-leg 10-point teasers, all to the over, in other words, all 560 cashed, so 560-0. They didn't really adjust totals. If you're able to get to a book which allows those bets at a limit that is worth your time, I absolutely advocate them. But Mike Alvarez making the point, I forgot Theismann did that last year during the regular season. We all kind of just bit our tongue. We hope to have Joe back. Always a thrill for me. This is from Tom F. Does Marky Mark Borchardt take requests? I do not know with his what was the cringe factor on him spitting rhymes there at the end? What's the cringe factor on me saying spitting? Let's just say that.
It wasn't too bad, but like not as bad as that. I think the Angels had a weird like rap, and then not the Angels. It was, I forget who it was in the playoffs last year, baseball team. Yeah. I was afraid he was going to go that way, but he didn't. He was good.
LFC title records. Wait, producer number 47 watched the entire G League documentary and still got the graphic wrong? Sounds like someone was a little too preoccupied. Or on finding front row IMAX tickets. That's exactly right. You've nailed Ortega to a T. Eric Biggio from Will Hill. Always enjoy your baseball segments. Agree with you guys on the Cubs. They've got some soft spots on their schedule that should help them out. And as for Mark, he said, as far as your MC skills, sorry, you're no KRS-One. Please stick with spitting fire on the bases. Eric, I couldn't agree more about that as well. It is Bet Bash 3. Bet Bash 3 happening all week at Circa, Spanky's phenomenal sports betting conference. Bet Bash 2 last year was during the weekend, and it was sensational. This one's during the week. I am moderating a panel tomorrow called Traders, the relationship between bookmakers and bettors. Mitch Moss is doing one on college football handicapping. And Sammy Panayotovic is doing one on gambling Twitter. And then tomorrow night, the Hall of Fame is taking place, the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. Chrissy Andrews was on this show announcing names that would be inducted. So that big ceremony is tomorrow night. And so many people have been kind enough to roll through the South Point from across town, including our next guest, who is, of course, the proprietor over there at thepowerrank.com. It's our old buddy, Ed Feng. How you doing, Ed?
I'm doing great, Gil. Thanks so much for having me.
I love how you've been in this seat waiting patiently for minutes on end.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
We'll give away the secret sauce there. So earlier, first of all, great to see you.
Great to see you too, Gil.
How are your kids doing? Are they still becoming superstars?
They're doing really well. Yeah. I'm really happy. Had a great summer.
Okay. Earlier on the show, this is purely by coincidence. At dinner last night, we just started riffing about most interceptions. Mm-hmm. I'm totally being serious. And so I did the very simple analysis of, okay, here are the guys with the most interceptions over the last 2 years.
Yep.
And then here by percentage, interceptions per pass attempt. You, and you've done this for many years, you have really tried to harness the predictive nature of this. Can it be predicted?
Right.
And so you went a step further. Explain what that was all about.
Absolutely. So when you look at interceptions per pass attempt, it turns out it's not as predictive as you might like it to be. And, you know, when you try to project, let's say Jalen Hurts from last year, his 1% interception rate compared to an NFL average of 2.3%, when you try to use that to predict what happens this year, you don't get too much predictive power. So what I found is you actually need to expand the set of events that you look at. The play-by-play tracks passes defended. So these are plays in which a defender gets a hand on the ball. That can be at the line of scrimmage. That can be a secondary player. And then also plays in which the defender jars the ball loose with a hit. And
Wishnev and I used to call this the batting average of balls in play of quarterbacks. The good fortune or bad fortune,
Batting average of balls in play. Right, but wait, haven't we found there that there's a little bit more variation than we first thought?
Yeah.
At first we thought it was like everyone's at 300. And then
299, and then it was 290 last year, yeah.
Well, and then Mariano's, I think I looked, Mariano Rivera's career average was like 260 or something like that.
Matt Cain was super under it for a couple years in a row,
So it turns out to be very predictive. So when you look at interceptions plus these passes defended, that's about as predictive as any quarterback statistic gets. So that's the super sophisticated way of looking at it. The kind of the take-home message, Gil, is that when you have a 1% interception rate, like Daniel Jones had last year, like a Jalen Hurts had last year, it's unsustainable. You didn't need me to dig into the play-by-play to tell you that.
Yeah.
But when you dig into the play-by-play, you get the same answer. And I think, you know, we all know about it. The Giants last year, really amazing start to the season, made the playoffs. You know, and Daniel Jones, when you do the bad ball analysis, like when you look at passes defended, he's gotten a lot better than he was as a rookie. He got a lot better 2 years ago before Brian Daboll was there. But when you look at how he projects for this year, it's much closer to the NFL average of 2.3% than the 1% from last season.
So if we want to make a bet on this, though, so most interceptions for the season. What are your – so this is – what you're basically trying to find here is a bad ball rate.
Right.
You're trying to see, like, okay, regardless of the result of the play,
right,
which we know could be a reception, could be an interception, ball could just fall to the turf harmlessly.
Yep.
But in terms of someone who is consistently throwing bad balls, like Brock Purdy had a few last year where even – and I was a big Niners guy, but even as it was going on and he was winning seven in a row, I was like, boy, he's getting real lucky.
For sure.
On this. And Pro Football Focus numbers sort of corroborate that. Kirk Cousins, for years we talked about, we're like, oh, my God, this guy hits guys in the chest and on defense. We play in Washington. I was like, this guy is the luckiest.
Right.
Where's the bet based on what you have looked at?
For sure. I mean, for me, I'm looking for game-by-game interception props. Mm-hmm. I'm expecting Daniel Jones to open up, like, you know, plus money to go under a half interceptions. That's usually how that market works, under and over. So whether you don't throw an interception or whether you do throw an interception – definitely cashed, I forget which game it was with the Giants, maybe that playoff game, maybe the one before, but the analysis held, right? Like he had this amazing stretch last year where I think he threw one interception in like seven games or something like that. That's going to affect the interception market. Be like, oh, this guy's amazing. He's good, but he is NFL average when it comes to turnover prevention. When you look at the bad balls. And by the way, all the bad ball stuff's on my site. So go check it out at thepowerrank.com. I thought about keeping it behind a paywall. I don't think I'm going to. Let's just have everyone can have at it.
Thepowerrank.com.
Thepowerrank.com.
Yeah. Okay.
I also looked at Brock Purdy because I was trying to find a problem with that little man last year. I was like, how is this guy continually thwarting my NFL spread bets? I mean, what was like Tampa Bay? You know, we had Tampa Bay and Tom Brady, like, plus something at San Francisco. Like, how did that not win? You know, his bad ball rate was also NFL average. You know, he was right at there. And obviously, you're going to see some plays, and, you know, he's a rookie.
So you prefer attacking this game by game.
Game by game.
Because there are, and by the way, there are season-long not only odds to have the most interceptions, which we talked about earlier on the show, but also season total over-unders for each of these guys available at DraftKings. You know, and so you can bet over and under on them. But you don't want to do the season long. You prefer to have someone whose bad ball rate is clearly not reflective of what his interceptions have become, and then you want to exploit that on a week-to-week basis.
I think the most power is on a week-to-week basis, and that's why I put those numbers on my site.
Yeah.
I'm going to go look at what the numbers have. DraftKings just has everything, don't they?
Yeah,
in terms of, like, you know, like, let's say, for example, Jalen Hurts. His interception total is 6 this year. Yeah, you want. I don't think it is. I don't think they're that dumb.
Right.
They might be. I don't know. But yeah, I wouldn't be against those markets either. You know, I kind of want to exploit Giants under win total, but I think that's priced correctly.
I'm all about that.
I'm not brave enough to go Eagles under win total, even though I think there's a ton of regression for that team everywhere. I do have my questions about that team, but they do have a lot of talent. I do think Jalen Hurts is good. He's not Patrick Mahomes good, but I'm not quite ready to.
But the big takeaway, though, is don't be fooled by a one year sample of a Jalen Hurts or a Daniel Jones to the good and to the bad. What would you say about someone like Justin Fields, though? Justin Fields, who had a well over almost a 3.5% interception rate. Do you think like someone like that, we got to run? But do you think someone like that might actually be his real rate? You wouldn't buy it.
We'll see. I mean, you know, Jameis for a while was bad, but wasn't as bad as some of his years. I think his first year with the Arians, he was really bad, but even he would regress down a little bit.
Ed Fang, thepowerrank.com. Always a pleasure to hang out with Ed. We'll come back. Bill Krakenberger from I don't know where. Next, Unscripted, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up today for only $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. Sean McCollum now in for Brian Ortega, who's in for Wyatt Tomchek, who's in for Kelly Bidlin. Brian had a matter he had to tend to. I think that Ed Fang showing up late segment had him a little frazzled, so Sean will get us through this. It is Gil Alexander. We're at the South Point Hotel Casino on the tip of the strip, the majestic South Point, and Bet Bash 3 is going on, and folks are attending Bet Bash, hanging out with Bet Bash folks, and are kind enough to roll in here. Las Vegas Chris, the latest of that bunch. He joins us now. Contest juggernaut through the years. I read your credentials, Chris, earlier on the show. Should I do them again?
I think people are sick and tired of it.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're sick and tired of hearing that you were the winner of the Palms NFL Challenge, the winner of the Wynn Casino Single Survivor Contest, $100,000, the winner of the 2016 Stations Casino's NCAA Last Man Standing Contest for $62,000 back in 2016, 2019, you finished a cool 20th and 31st in Circa. 2020, you finished 2nd and 5th and cashed nearly $250,000. And then 2021, Last Man Standing over at Stations, this time the NFL version, tied for first. What about it last year? I don't have last year updated. Did you do anything last year? By the way, Las Vegas Chris, everybody. How you doing, man?
Hey, good to be here.
You too.
I profited $14,000 overall last year. I won a $25,000 quarter at Circa.
Look at you. You are so good. First of all, you look great, by the way. Have you lost weight? Do you have a tan? What's happening with you? You look wonderful.
I don't know. Maybe it's just the shirt.
Maybe it's the shirt. Could be. You have been hanging out with Bet Bash 3 folks. You have a story you'd like to share with us?
This was ridiculous. I didn't really have time to attend the events and stuff, but I had a lot of meetings scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to schedule 3 different appointments at the same time, basically, kind of just rolling with the flow. And I sat down. I had to get a game in, time sensitive, and the game that's going on is a loser. And just getting pounded, and then
is this baseball we're talking?
Yeah,
yeah.
And
yeah.
I either win everything or lose everything. It's ridiculous. I don't know what's up with this year. But so I'm sitting there, and it's a cavalcade of one person after another who I'd love to spend time with and talk to, people I haven't met. people that I have met, haven't seen in a while, and it's just great. I'm like completely overloaded, and then this guy comes by with these three guys came by, and I recognized the first guy, and but I'm so overloaded, I'm like, you know, hey, I recognize you. As he comes up, shakes our hand, and I didn't really catch what he said to me, and then he introduces the two other people, and he's kind of on his way, and you know, it was kind of a sort of meeting. Like 25 minutes later, it dawns on me, that was Ed from Raz.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how the hell didn't I recognize him? You know, because I hadn't seen Mike and the other guy on the show, so I didn't know who they looked like.
Right.
And so I go, damn it, I wanted to talk to Ed. And he must think I just completely blew him off, thinking he's as dead as disco or something to me. But
we getting old, Chris. That's what that means.
It's just so bad. But I apologized to him on DM, and I said, to be fair, you've been on video. I've seen you on video once for like 5 or 10 minutes. So
you
can't really blame me.
No, not for Ed. Ed would admit, Ed is not one, he shies away from cameras or shows. Like, it was very, I was thrilled to have him on a couple times, maybe once, but it was definitely one time, and I was like, oh, wow, this is a big deal that he's on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're forgiven for that. Do you do any preseason, or you stay as far away from that as possible?
I have an excellent preseason record, but I haven't bet a preseason game in 4 years.
Why?
Usually because it's mental management. I think it's evolved to needing to act too fast, and it's information based, and I don't want to be on. I want my focus to be wider focused. I don't want to be focusing on preseason week one. I'd rather be absorbing more information that's going to benefit me throughout the season, if that makes any sense.
Yes, that triggers a thought. And I think you've said this on this show before, but it's worth reiterating. So we talk because we're before the season. It's only natural for us to talk about season-long markets, both props, obviously futures, that sort of thing. You do not like betting futures, correct?
Well, I like to middle and play around with numbers. Like I track 12 books and their season win totals and their futures. And usually I can tell you who's got the best number on every team just right here. I'm usually tracking them. I'm a little bit behind at the moment, but I like to watch the progression. And if you're watching on a weekly basis, you're going to find some good value. You know, there's been a handful of teams where, you know, you just have to play both sides. It's you're getting a half a number, and it's costing you next to nothing. So,
but I find your reason fascinating as to why you. So if you see a great number, you'll play it.
Yeah.
But generally, it's I love this that it you don't want to be in any way influenced during the season by a futures bet that you have.
It's if you're really honest with yourself and you think about it, there's literally a 0% chance that it will not affect your handicapping at some point during the season. Even for somebody like myself who can compartmentalize, you know, pretty well, it doesn't matter. It's going to pop into your system that, oh, you know, I need Baltimore. I really don't want to bet against them. Thankfully, I have a model that overrules, you know, my thinking. But
do you really succumb to that? Like, you're not able to put that in the, you know, one side of your brain.
Oh, no, I am, but
you are.
But it pops into your brain.
Yeah.
So when you're going through each week's games, if you've got a Browns future and they're playing a team on a given week, trust me, if not overtly, are you going to come out and say to yourself, I've got that future, I don't want to kind of be betting against my future. Well, that just hosed you.
Yeah.
And if you've got multiple futures now, that's going to hose you on a bunch of different games. And if you don't think it's overtly, it's subconsciously affecting you.
It's a very interesting stance on it. I want to talk about your week-to-week preparation. Before we get to week-to-week, though, and again, all the contests that you've won, so your street cred, if you will, speaks for itself. But some of the things that you do here before the season, we discussed one of them here briefly without even really thinking we were, which is networking. You do a lot of that. You try to get as many outs as you can, and you're picking a line service. Explain those three things. Networking, outs, line service. For those who might be new or newish to betting.
Well, I'm still shocked at how few people actually pay attention. And I run across some people that are in this industry that either own websites or they distribute information that really are just, are not concerned with line services. They're just like, well, I just pull up this or I pull up that. And are you out of your mind? It's like this is the easy part of the week is figuring out who you're going to bet. The work is where are you going to bet it and when are you going to bet it? And that's by monitoring. But I recommend to everybody that you're always monitoring lines. And you don't have to be one of these guys that monitors it all week long, but at least monitor where you can find the best line and the best value. I mean, you can't only have a square shop to bet your stuff. You're going to get hosed left and right, especially at money lines and futures and stuff like that. You know, you want to look for a mix of sharp and square shops so that you can kind of get that, you know, best of both worlds type of
how much networking are you doing week to week during the season?
I think it varies. You know, information's extremely important. So, there's no predicting on it. I mean, yeah, you check in with the same people at the same time.
You have your go-to guys. You stick with them.
Yeah, but yeah. You always have to be open to new resources and such. It's really funny because I have a ton of contact at certain times with some people, and then zero contact with some people. It just goes in waves. You just never know where it's going to come from. You just go with the flow.
If you could distill, this is an awful question because I know it's going to be almost impossible to answer. But if you could say, what is the, if someone said you must give me the single biggest key to why you have been successful doing these contests through the years, you would say what?
I don't think it's just contests. It's daily betting management.
Okay.
And I believe it's more important than if somebody handed you winners, believe it or not. And that is handling the mental aspects of what's involved with managing how you're going to approach whatever you're doing, whether it's a contest, wagering, the season. Have that in a proper perspective ahead of time, knowing and then planning how you're going to manage it along the way. And it's critical, absolutely critical.
I want to delve into that after the break because it occurs to me that there's going to be a significant portion of the audience who hear you say that and are going to be like, come on, dude, better than giving you the – like, really better – more important than your actual handicapping and your actual market reading, which I guess you're doing both of in all of this, right, handicapping and market reading week to week. That sounds so abstract to a lot of people, but you really believe in that. You think that is – as important as anything. We'll delve into just what Las Vegas Chris is talking about when he talks about his mental preparation on all of this stuff, the podcasts and shows that he relies on a weekly basis, his routine, setting goals and priorities. Las Vegas Chris in studio, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.